This week on the Hugh Jackson Show, we go one-on-one with the Browns head coach and break down Emmanuel Ogba's big day against the Bengals. Isaiah Crowell talks about his quest for 1,000 yards.
I'm trying to just get over 100 in every game, if you want to be quite honest.
And Robert Griffin III talks about the challenges of returning to the lineup. Plus, we take a look ahead to the Buffalo Bills. Hey, Dog Pound. Nathan Zagura here alongside the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson. It's the Hugh Jackson Show brought to you by Elk and Elk. Coach, it was announced this week, London is calling. London, England, the Browns are part of the 2017 International Series. What was your reaction to the news?
I was excited about it. You know, it's an opportunity for our organization to go to London, play another organization in the Minnesota Vikings, and what a tremendous opportunity for all involved.
Have you been to London ever?
Yes, I lived in London. I used to coach for the London Monarchs back in 20, well, it was a long time ago, be very honest with you, 1990, I believe. So I lived over there and have a pretty good idea of what's over there.
So it's a semi-homecoming for you.
Well, I guess you could say that a little bit. You know, we played in Wembley Stadium. I'm not sure where the game's played and all the dynamics and where all the logistics are and all that, but we'll get to that. That's a little ways away, but we are excited about the opportunity.
I'm told it's Twickenham Stadium. Even though there's an H in there, you can't say the H. That's what I was corrected very quickly by some of our British followers on Twitter. All right, let's go back to last weekend now against the Bengals. What did you take away from that game?
Well, it was another opportunity for us to go out and play a division opponent and really see where we are. We're not exactly where we need to be yet, but I think our team continues to fight extremely hard. We had our chances in the game, and we didn't nail them shut. But again, I see a team that is still improving and working extremely hard, but we're not, you know, hitting our goal, which is winning a football game.
You know, one of the things that I don't know if people really understand is when you're on the sideline, you have a certain vantage point. I'm down there. It's tough to see, really. How much different is it for you as an evaluator when you go back and actually get to watch the tape? Is it almost like watching a game for the first time, even though you were right there?
Absolutely, it is, because you get to see different vantage points, you know. You don't get to see when you're standing down there. I try to stand in a spot to where I can see it all, but at the same time, you can't. And then when you're able to sit in your office and everything's comfortable and quiet, you know, you see things that you wish you had saw during the game. But again, it's a, you know, all of this is a work in progress, and I think we're going to get there.
We'll talk a little bit more about Isaiah Crowell later, but 7.7 yards per carry, the best for a Browns team since 1978. Jonathan Cooper this week was Pro Football Focus's number one right guard in the NFL. What did you see from him in his first start?
I thought he battled. You know, I thought there were some things he did extremely well. I thought we kind of played to his strengths. And then, you know, there's some things that still improve. But I think for a first start for him, it was pretty good.
Four sacks defensively, you guys really were able to get after Andy Dalton. How did that come about, and were you pleased with that?
I was very pleased with that, and we want more. You know, I think, again, I think our defense has been doing a good job. They've been really getting better, and I think the defensive line is really starting to really go after the quarterback a lot more. I think our players are getting game ready. I think they're understanding exactly what we're trying to do on that side of the ball. And Emmanuel Ogba obviously has done a great job, and he needs to continue to grow.
Setting me up right there. 1.5 sacks for Emmanuel, and let's go take a look at one of those in the Giant Eagle film room.
He's going to shuffle right. He's going to get sacked back over the 25-yard line as the Browns shoot through, and Ogba's in there again. Emmanuel Ogba, the rookie with the sack.
All right, Coach, here we are. First down, they're in the red zone. You guys dialed up a nice one here. Pressure for Emmanuel Ogba to get a free run at the quarterback. Pre-snap, what did you see? Because talking to Emmanuel after the game, he's like, as soon as we called it, I knew I was getting sacked.
Right. Well, what we see is they're in what we call a buzz left formation, and they're motioning a receiver out, which means they're trying to tell if it's man or zone. Okay? And so we have a blitz on, which will allow our defensive linemen to work inside where our linebackers work. Outside, and so it gives us a chance to kind of counteract what they're trying to do as far as protection is concerned. And Ray did a great job of coming up with the scheme so we can exploit this opportunity. So as you can see, it all works because a linebacker takes on a running back inside. The other linemen, our defensive linemen, tie up, and the linebacker ties up the right side of their line, as you can see right here with Jamie Collins, and it allows Emmanuel to come running free in the backside A-gap.
So you bring both of the guys, you bring double A gap here with the two linebackers, And he kind of just loops around, and since the back picks up Kirksey, he's got a free run.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
For a lineman, that's got to be a good feeling when you see the parting of those C's and he gets in there.
When you can run back there free and get to the quarterback and take him down, all linemen are extremely excited about that.
So I think Emmanuel might want to play the Bengals every week. 3.5 sacks in 2 games against the Bengals.
Absolutely.
Not too bad. All right, we'll be back for more of the Hugh Jackson Show right after this. Up next on the Hugh Jackson Show, Browns starting running back Isaiah Crowell talked about his fourth 100-yard game of the season and his quest to get to 1,000 yards.
Really, I want to help my team get a victory, and that, because that's the main thing.
Welcome back to the Hugh Jackson Show. Nathan's girl alongside the head coach here at Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson. And coach, this week the ground game got going again. We talked about earlier, 7.7 yards per carry. Crow, 10 carries for 113 yards. How good was it to see him back over the century mark?
It was great. You know, that's how we like to play with Crow. I think he's a very talented runner, and he proved that. I think having Robert and the flexibility of some of the things we were doing gave us an opportunity to have a little bit better running game.
Yeah, and Crow was pretty fired up after the game. I talked to him, and he talks to Matt Wilhelm now in the PNC Bank Play Breakdown.
Matt Wilhelm here with Browns leading rusher Isaiah Crowell. Rough game the other day against the Cincinnati Bengals, but ultimately 10 carries, over 100 yards. How did it feel to get over the century mark again?
It really felt great. Just to be able to go out there and run the ball effective and, you know, just try to help my team.
Absolutely. Well, the play we're going to diagnose is it's 3rd and 1, you know, about the 40-yard line. You guys run the zone read with Robert at quarterback, and it was like the parting of the Red Sea. Like, the hole was so big that Ezekiel Elliott could run through it. So
right.
what was it like to just get back and have those chunk runs that we saw earlier in the season?
It feels good. It helps your confidence and just lets you know that you can run the ball effective. And, you know, you just hope that you can run the ball more.
3rd down and 1 yard. They give it, and Crowell's open. 35, 30, 25, 20, 15-yard line, and a 1st down on a big run by Crowell. A 30-yard run. Where are those holes coming from?
They got a double team up front with Pastor, and they just got to push the line of scrimmage. Bengals blitzing on the backside. Big hole.
Diving into, you know, the zone read, for those that don't know. The zone read with Robert, and again, no offense to Josh McCown or Cody Kessler or anybody else, but it's a different level, and you could see the emphasis that Hugh Jackson put on instilling it into the game plan. What is the threat that is created when the ball can be given to you or Robert can keep it and go around the edge?
It's very hard to contain just because, you know, he can run the ball, I can run the ball, and I feel like, you know, he's a great player when he has the ball in his hands, and, you know, he can make some great things happen.
And is it exciting for you, and of course, to go over the century mark, but that you can see moving forward in the coming weeks, these final 3 games of the season, that you can be a focal point of this offense and run the football, chew up some clock, and win a Cleveland Browns football game?
Yes, I'm glad that Hugh, you know, believes in me. He's been believing in me the whole year, and, you know, I'm glad that, you know, he believes in the run, and, you know, that's what I try to do, just try to help my team, you know, just try to go out there and help us get a win.
So I want to dive into the running back rooms as a whole. There's yourself and Duke, who are getting the majority of the carries, the majority of the work, but I want to dive into Kirby Wilson as the run game coordinator and his role, as well as Rock Cartwright, a former football player, who probably adds a lot to your room.
Right, Curb and Rock, they helped me out a lot, you know, with pad protections, just tracks, and, you know, where my eyes need to be, you know. I appreciate that because, you know, they give me a lot of encouragement.
We've talked time and time again on Cleveland Browns Daily about you wanting to hit that 1,000-yard mark. There's 3 games left. I know getting a win is number one, but what's Isaiah Crowell's goal in these final 3 football games?
I'm trying to just get over 100 in every game, if you want to be quite honest.
Sure.
But really, I want to help my team get a victory, because that's the main thing.
Last question. All of these football games could essentially be played in cold weather.
Right.
You're from the South.
Right.
Okay. How does Isaiah Crowell get ready for the cold like there was this past week and for the next 3 weeks?
I just try to stay warm before the game. You know, don't come out until, you know, the last minute, because it's freezing out there. But, you know, I feel like I played my best games in the cold, like going back to high school. I feel like, I did great in the cold, so, I mean, I'm ready for it.
Absolutely. Well, Isaiah, congratulations on the 100 yards, and good luck against the Buffalo Bills.
Thank you.
You got it.
All right, Coach, you saw Crow there. What are your goals for him over the final three games, given that, you know, he set a career high already in yards from scrimmage with 1,017?
Well, I think if we can stay consistent with him running the ball the way he has when it's been really good.
Yeah.
Because when he's good, he's really good. And when we haven't been very good, I think it's a unit issue. So I think if we can stay consistent over the next three games, great things can happen for
him. That's right. Run that rock and ride the Crow to a victory. We'll be back more of the Hugh Jackson Show right after this. Still to come on the Hugh Jackson Show, we talk with Browns quarterback RG3 about his goals for the final three games.
Keep fighting, and I think we have the right bunch of guys that are going to keep fighting and never get used to losing.
Welcome back to the Hugh Jackson Show. Nathan's girl alongside the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Hugh Jackson. And Coach, we talked about a little bit earlier with RG3, but give people an idea of how difficult it is for a quarterback to basically take 3 months off because you can't play tackle football in practice.
Right.
And how hard is it to really get prepared and then go out there and play an NFL game?
Well, it's really tough. You know, you go to training camp, you get named a starter, and then the offense is really patterning to your skill set, and then you get hurt. And so then you set by and everything kind of changes in your world. You know, you're not able to practice. You're not able to take part in really anything from a football standpoint for several months, as you mentioned. And then you're thrown back out there again, you know, with no preseason or an opportunity to get ready. Practice at this time of the year is really getting ready for the team you're facing. We're not taking anybody to the ground. We're not tackling the quarterback. We're not even wearing full pads in practice. So that's a huge adjustment for a player. And then you have to go out there, and the other team, they're not just trying to beat you, they're trying to defeat you. So you have all of those different thought processes running through your head while you're trying to run a football team. So it's a lot, you know, and I think it's tough. But at the same time, that's what the job requires, and you have to work through it and get through it. And you can understand maybe not playing as well early, but now it's time to make that next jump, and I think he'll do that.
And RG3 talked with our Dustin Fox about doing just that in the Universal Windows Player Spotlight.
Dustin Fox here with Browns quarterback Robert Griffin III. Robert, you're out for 3 months. I mean, how tough was that for you? You know, not practicing, you're kind of out of the mix a little bit,
right.
But then you all of a sudden get back out there.
Right.
What was that process like?
Yeah, it was just, you know, about getting back used to the timing on game day. But, you know, it's a blessing to play in this league. So to get back out there was amazing. And to give ourselves a chance to win there in the second half, cutting the lead to 20-10, I felt really good about what the guys were doing when we came back out.
You got in the end zone.
Right.
And you grabbed that football, and you spiked that thing so hard. it was like, you could see there was like a release for you because you had an opportunity to be back out there on the field doing what you love.
Right.
What was going through your mind in that moment?
No, it's just, you know, we dug ourselves into a hole, 20-0. And yeah, there was a lot of frustration within that spike and a lot of relief, but it was just to tell the guys, like, come on, man, we can do this. You know, it's not the same old, same old. It's not here we go again. We have to claw ourselves out of whatever we dig ourselves into.
So, got to ask you about those cleats you had on
right.
In the game on Sunday, your foundation. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so the cleats were for the Family of Three Foundation. It's a foundation I created 2 years ago. The Family of Three tag is a playoff of my last name, and then we have three causes. Military families, underprivileged kids, and victims of domestic abuse. So, you know, been really excited about what we've been able to do with that, and just wanted to bring attention to those individuals that we help, because the more people that help us, the more people we can help.
I thought it spoke a lot to your character that you were wanting to get back out here and play. I mean, the team is not having a lot of success. You had an injury. I mean, you could have shut it down. You could have said, no, I'm cool. I'm just going to, you know, chill out for the rest of this offseason, get myself back for next year. But you said, I want to get back out there with my guys.
I didn't want to be a coward. I didn't want to be a coward and say, you know what, the season's over, whatever. I'll wait till next year. I wanted to be out there with my teammates, show them that I care about them. So I'm going to continue to give everything I have. And I know those guys are going to give me everything they have to help us get those victories this year.
Do you think that a franchise like the Browns will be better because of going through something like this?
Without a doubt. And I think, you know, I continue to tell the guys, don't get used to this. Don't ever let this be okay in your mind, you know. Don't go home and say, oh, well, keep fighting. And I think we have the right bunch of guys that are going to keep fighting and never get used to losing. You can't become complacent and just say, you know, that it's just the way it is. It's not the way it is, man. We're fighting, and we're fighting to change the culture here at this place. And sometimes you have to go through some stuff like this. Or as Coach likes to say, you have to develop a championship chin. And, you know, we've taken a lot of shots on the chin this year as a team. And, I consider myself a part of that, no matter how many games I've played. I love every guy in that locker room. So once we start getting these wins, it'll all carry over into the future.
Buffalo Bills on Sunday. What's it going to take to go up there and get that W?
Everybody's got to be on the same page. We got to execute at a high level on offense and truly play a full team game.
What about you? What do you got to do?
Yeah, I just got to go out, continue to shake off that rust, and then just, you know, give my guys an opportunity to make plays.
My man, appreciate the time.
Appreciate you guys.
Enjoy.
All right.
Thanks, man.
Yeah. I believe in every one of you.
Okay.
We can win this.
Okay.
Let's go.
Let's go, baby.
Browns on three. 1, 2, 3.
Browns.
Coach, you see RG3 there. This is obviously a very important three-game stretch for him as well as for our football team. What's the one question you hope he can answer for you in these final three?
Well, can he win for us? You know, and that doesn't mean I'm not just talking about W's and L's. I mean, can he win for this football team as the leader, as the face, as a leader of this offensive football team?
And the next chance to get that comes this Sunday against the Bills. We'll preview that when we return. Next on the Hugh Jackson Show, we break down the keys to victory against the Buffalo Bills this Sunday. Welcome back to the Hugh Jackson Show. Time now for the Northeast Ohio BMW Center's game preview, Coach. And we take on the Buffalo Bills in Buffalo this Sunday. What stands out to you about this football team?
Well, they're talented. You know, they have a lot of very talented players on their team, just like every team we face. I mean, obviously, they haven't had the season that they want to have. But at the same time, they propose a real challenge for us. They're really good on offense, number one rush offense in football, a defense that's hit the quarterback quite a bit. And like I said, just a host of players that I think are very good.
Yeah, number one rushing offense, about 155 yards a game. They've got 24 rushing touchdowns, which is kind of crazy. LeSean McCoy this year, they're 4-1 and he rushes for 100 yards. When he doesn't, they're just 2-6. How do you slow down Shady McCoy?
Well, you do everything. You got to bottle him up because he's extremely talented. I think we all know that. You know, we have to slow their running game down. That is their bread and butter. And we have to do a great job of keeping him within on the line of scrimmage, to be honest with you.
Tyrod Taylor's an interesting guy. When he's got a clean pocket, 69% completions. Under pressure, 43%. But when you pressure him, you run the risk of him running. He's their second leading rusher, 6 touchdowns. So how do you pressure a quarterback like that but contain him at the same time?
Well, you said it. You have to contain him, and you have to make sure that everybody's in their gaps. You got to play team defense. You know, everybody has to understand their responsibilities and keep him and Shady McCoy kind of bottled up as much as we can. We know they're very talented players. They're going to make some plays. We just got to limit them to not having very many plays.
Coach, you talked about a 3-4 defense presenting more challenges for you as a play caller than a 4-3 defense. Rex Ryan, one of the original 3-4 guys here in this league. What's so challenging about facing a Rex Ryan defense?
Because he has a lot of different packages and a lot of different personnel groups within his 3-4 scheme that you have to account for. And it's really different and difficult. But again, they can only put 11 out there. They can't put 12.
That's right.
And we got to find a way to get them blocked.
If they do, we got to get Mr. Referee on that. Be like, we'll take those 5 yards. Thank you very much. All right, last week, not a fast start, but a very good second half for the Browns team. They battled back 10 points in the second half, cut the lead in half, only 3 points allowed to the Bengals. How do you build on that to have a fast start Sunday in Buffalo?
Well, we just got to start faster. Again, this is a young team that we have with some veteran players, and I think our veteran players truly understand where we need to go, and they've done a good job of talking to our young players about how important it is to start fast in the National Football League. And again, that's what gives you the boost and the jump that you need as you try to go down this stretch and win a football game.
As always, the keys to victory.
The keys to victory don't change. You know, on offense, we got to be able to run the ball and protect the ball. And on defense, we have to stop the run. Again, this is the number one team, rush team in all of football. So we're going to have to stop them running the ball, and we got to take the ball from them. In order to do that, we got to play really good on defense, we got to play really good on offense, and we got to be as sound as we ever been in special teams.
All right, Coach, thank you very much for the time, and good luck on Sunday.
Thank you very much.
All right, and thanks for being with us on the Hugh Jackson Show.